Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman, and we're here for the next 24 and a half minutes here on AFR, live with our program. My son Wesley Wildman's in studio, and Ray Pritchard's in KCKS, and Steve Jordahl joins us now. Steve Paisley Jordahl, rocking the Paisley shirt.
It's not quite Paisley. It's got some purple and white circles with white collar. Yeah, this is a Christmas gift from my wife. Thank you very much, Heather.
Well, it's not okay. It's not Paisley. It's Paisley-esque.
Paisley-adjacent.
I can see it.
It would be in the same. Now we're getting technical. It may not even be in the same family.
But you know what? It's okay because I think we need to delve into fashion more.
That's right.
Well, not like we haven't been doing that for the last couple months.
Yes. And furthermore, if we think it's Paisley, right?
Well, that's true.
That's all we need to do.
Yeah.
Just think
redefine
it.
That Paisley. Shirt can self-identify
right.
as Paisley.
That's what I was getting to.
And it, yes, it is.
No absolutes around here.
All right. All right. Hey. Well, hey, Steve, you grew up in California. We were talking about the earthquake that hit Japan over the weekend.
Right.
And we were talking about, you know, do they teach people how to prep in California in case the earthquake hits? I mean, like we have tornado drills in a lot of the country, you know.
Yeah, they do. There's, I think I heard you guys talking about people getting under desks and everything. I've been through dozens of these. I mean, just tons. And this is how the number system works. It's a logarithmic scale. So a 4 earthquake is twice as bad as a 3. A 5 is twice as bad as a 4. So when you get to 6, it's a big earthquake. But 7 is twice as bad. You ever did that exercise where you say, if I gave you a penny, start a penny and I doubled it every day?
I've seen that, yep.
By the time you get to the end of the month, you've got thousands. This is the same way with earthquakes. 8 is twice as bad as a 7. I've never been through a 7. I've been through several 6s. I have 3 different kinds of people that I know in earthquake country. You've got the tourist who's never been through an earthquake. The ground starts shaking. They're kind of panicking. They don't know what to do. They're scared. Why is there a sheet? They're holding on to something. Then you've got people who live in California like me but have never been through the big one. And we know what to do. You're supposed to get under your desk, or you're supposed to go a doorpost in the doorway. That's also a very solid place to be. And so what we do, when this earth starts shaking, is I look around and I find it. Where's the closest door? Is this desk or table firm enough to keep me? I start taking measurements, right? I start getting ready. Those that have been through the big one, they go. When they start shaking, they just go to the doorway. They get under the desk. They know better. Yeah. It is terrifying. It is terrifying.
I just wonder, I'm trying to figure out how often that scale of earthquake happens.
Well, 6s are fairly common, I guess. 7s, not so much. Maybe there's been an 8. Yeah. Theoretically possible that there's a 9 and above, but...
So what Steve Paisley Jordahl confirmed, the only thing is to get under a desk. That's all you can do, right? Get under a desk?
Well, if you're outside, you're probably a little bit better off, depending on how bad it is. So if you're near an exit, go.
Oh, right, because something falling on you. That would be the
big... Yeah. Or the earth swallows you up.
Well...
Well, now they... Yeah, but
at
you
that
can't
point,
do anything about that, though.
At that point, there might be very little you can do anyway.
Yeah, it's
the
your
point
time to go.
Opening up.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, but no...
Earth swallows you up, you know, it's your time.
You're done.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
Yeah, it's terrifying, but you get used to it. You know, you start looking around, taking stock of where you are and what's happening. So
yeah,
been through a lot.
Well, I mean, those are the best things you can do is take cover, because to keep things from falling on your head, basically, is what you're trying. That's that, you know, and you're in your car, you can't do anything. Of course, you know, you're in your car, you just hope a building doesn't fall.
So answering my own question, thanks to Google, about 10 to 15. Happen annually on the scale.
10 to 15 what?
Scale 7 to 8.
Oh, you mean 15, around the globe?
Around the globe, worldwide, 10 to 15. The issue is a lot of the times, say a lot, now there's only 15 max, many times it's in no area where there are a lot of people, so you're not hearing about it as much, but they do happen. But when you have them happen in a big city like that happened in Japan, you hear more about it. And obviously, there's obviously more damage to be done.
And even more if it's a third world country that doesn't have the infrastructure
That's
to
right.
deal with it.
Yep.
So if you hear something happen in Pakistan or in Turkey, you're going to have a whole lot more death and destruction than you would in Los Angeles or Tokyo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hey, can I just mention something, Tim?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's the first time I've had a chance to talk to you on the air. My condolences to you on the passing of your father. I thought it was just a wonderful service on Saturday. You spoke very well, and all the people did, and I just left wishing I knew him better. I used to speak with your dad on the phone when I worked at Focus, and I'd call AFA for a comment on something, and so every so often I talked to your dad. He's a wonderful man. Really respected him. So my condolences to you. And
did he have a Southern accent in your view, Steve?
yeah. I say okay. It's funny because when we play, we play the My Turn. Between,
yeah,
that's right.
Whenever he's talking about someone who doesn't have a lot of money, they're poor.
Oh,
they're poor.
They're poor. But yeah. It sounds like they're poor.
They're poor.
They're poor.
Some of my dad's talk is borders on needing an interpreter. You know?
A little bit, and worth interpreting, I might add.
Yeah.
Whatever he says.
That's
the other
funny.
Thing,
yeah.
The other thing.
Well, he was raised in the rural South back in the 40s and 50s, and that's when nowadays a lot of people, in fact, I read a story the other day, Ray, where a lot of accents are disappearing because the melding and the way that people move around so much today.
Hey, that's a sad thing, I think. It's inevitable, right, with the homogenization, social media, TV, all the rest of it. Good Southern accent's a blessing. I like listening to a great British accent. It's Australian accent. You know,
Ed can do the Boston. If you
that's right, Ed can do Boston beautifully. And I think the world is a richer place with the plethora of accents.
And I was born in California, which apparently doesn't have one. So
there's
a Valley Girl thing they used to say, but yeah. Anyway,
you used to could tell when somebody was from Chicago too, right, Ray? I mean,
right.
Of course, you passed there.
If you go to Chicago,
right,
then old Chicago, right? It's still there. Absolutely, it's still
the Bears.
Yeah, the Bears.
So,
the Bears.
Well, we've for different reasons, California's come up a good bit in today's issues today. What's our next story there?
Well, I wanted before if I could do one more thing real quick. Ray, I've started watching your reading. I'm reading now through you with the Bible with you this year. I didn't last year.
Good.
You don't read that. You perform it. Have you watched? Have you seen some of the?
I'm not.
It's so well read, and the expressions that you have and the hand movements, what you're talking about, it's like watching a performance. I'm really going to enjoy that this year.
You just get into it, and. It's never planned, Steve. Never. I don't ever stop and think about that. But you get into the flood, you know,
right.
Or you're going to go down there and the bears are coming out, you know, and some crazy thing is happening that I got to move my hands. I got to tell the story, right?
It's a well worth watching. Anybody who hasn't bothered to or taken the time to do this, go to keepbelieving.com. It's worth your time. Wesley, to your point here, California, starting January 1st, so yesterday, California decided it would be a good idea if they started providing full coverage, health coverage to illegal immigrants.
Well, the good news is it's free.
But right? Yeah, of course. The money free. Comes off of trees.
That's right. There we go.
Because nobody has to pay for it.
It's free.
And they say that Medi-Cal expansion will allow about 700,000 illegal immigrants between the ages of 26 and 49 to receive full coverage. Says the person who wrote this little editorial on this, the Democrat voting laundering scheme is in full swing.
All right. That's California.
It is.
That's California. Listen, helping people with health care is a good thing. All right, anywhere in the world.
Sure.
Christian ministries do more charity work around the world to help the poor and disenfranchised and people in poverty with health care. If it wasn't for the Christian hospitals and doctors and nurses and missionaries. You know, where would a lot of these people in these poor nations be? I mean, now, politically speaking, the more you offer people free, the more incentive you have for more of them to come.
Right.
All right. So if the state of California is going to say free health care for everybody, even if you're here illegally, then you're going to get more of it and more of them. It's one of those bleeding heart type approaches, Ray. I got to tell you, I'm somewhat torn on this because, I mean, what if somebody comes here illegally and they get sick or their child has an injury? You don't want to, you know what I'm saying? You don't want them to go untreated.
I will say this, for as long as I've been around, and I think forever.
This is Steve talking right now, right?
Yeah, this is Steve. Well,
because okay, I asked for Ray, but he got the song. But that's okay, Steve.
Wait, this is his story, though.
I was just going to say, I want to hear what Ray has to say.
That's it. That's all he's going to say.
Go ahead, Steve. Tell me what I'm thinking about.
All I was going to say is that no hospital has ever turned away somebody who has a serious illness.
Sure.
And they haven't, and they won't. That's part of the humanity, and they do that. So this is more than that. But I'm sorry, Ray. Okay. Didn't step on you.
Well, look, California's already in terrible trouble financially. Right. Newsom and his crew have driven that great state into the ground. So financially, fiscally, and every other way. Look, money is a finite resource. No nation has an unlimited supply. No state has an unlimited supply. Because, Tim, I agree with you. I agree 100%. Healthcare is a blessing, right? And Americans are a generous people. And people have come into this country in a lot of different ways, and we want their health needs to be taken care of. I just think we ought not to kid ourselves. There is no such thing as free health care.
Right.
It doesn't exist. Somebody is paying for that.
Yeah, give this about 6 months to a year. I think we'll be hearing from California that they're broke, and they can't afford to do this any longer.
Well, they were until
they're
the
broke
COVID
now.
Stuff came along. And
well,
They got a clear slate there for a little bit.
They're facing a $68 billion deficit this next fiscal year.
All right, and you know what? States aren't like the federal government. The federal government can say, we'll print some more money. You know, the federal government can do that. States can't. So states, you have to find a way to balance the budget.
So if you're $68 billion in the red, how can you afford then to?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Something's going to have to be cut. Something's going to have to happen.
Taxes,
or you're going to have to raise taxes more.
Taxes are already incredibly high in California.
Well, then you're going to raise taxes more in California, then you're going to have this continued exodus out of the state.
Mm-hmm. I also just heard that California raised the minimum wage there. It's now $16 an hour.
Yeah. Well, let's revisit this in about a year and see how it worked out.
Put a note in my calendar.
Yeah. All right, next story.
All right. About in 2015, there's a group of children represented by adults and lawyers who sued the federal government alleging that violations of their constitutional rights were occurring to due process, their constitutional right to due process and equal protection from the government's historic support and subsidization of fossil fuels. Because the country is burning fossil fuels, they're burning up the future, they say, of these kids. So these kids sued the government. Well, a judge on Saturday in Oregon, Judge Ann Aiken of the U.S. District Court for the District of Oregon, sided with the Biden administration in dismissing some of the children's claims, but the suit can continue, and the climate hoax will have its day in court.
Climate hoax.
Kids.
It's going to happen.
Well, the kids, some of these kids, they sued in 2015. Some of them have reached majority age, but a lot of them are still kids. But kids are now bringing lawsuits saying that, well, in 10 years, you know, we're not going to be here, so we're suing you. Of course, they've been saying that for decades and decades now. But, just remember, there is no hope. There is no crisis right now of climate.
No.
But we're spending money like it's growing on trees, trying to solve things. That aren't a problem.
I just, I don't have anything to say on that.
That's what it deserves. That's the response that deserves.
Yep.
Next story.
All right. So we're talking about that. We've been talking about what's going on in Israel. There is a video out, and I didn't bring it in because it's in Hebrew. But one of the hostages that was released, her name is Mia Shem, and she was sharing her story on video for the first time. And this is what she said. She said she was taken, and then she was handed over to a family in the Gaza Strip, which continued to hold her captive, continued to abuse her physically and mentally. And her opinion is that nobody, I mean, 10-year-old, their 10-year-old kids in that family were taught to hate her and were actively abusing her as a 10-year-old would. Her opinion is that there is nobody in the West Bank, and I think she's speaking a little evangelistically or hyperbolically. There is nobody in Gaza who is innocent. They are all on the bandwagon to destroy Israel. They're all from the river to the sea. All of them, the kids, the adults. The fact that the Hamas terrorists could hand someone over to a family, here you go. And they don't, no mercy, no family with kids.
What's the status of the war there, Steve?
Well, it's entering day 80-something, I think, and there has been a change of, they say, a change of strategy. Now, they're withdrawing some of the troops. The IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, are withdrawing. So they're not going and necessarily just sending a bunch of munitions in targeting, like, leaders of Hamas and weapons caches. They're being more strategic now, they say. And they're going after leaders. I have not heard any pulling back on the resolve from Benjamin Netanyahu that they're going to deal with Hamas and level Hamas and get rid of Hamas, if that's even possible. But they have kind of entered a new phase of the war, I understand.
You're right.
Well, you're really just asking the question, how does this end? Because we understand what Hamas did, this terrorist attack on October the 7th, and at least 1,200 people were brutally murdered, and a couple of hundred hostages taken, and 100 still out there. I'm 100% in support of Israel doing whatever it needs to do. But how do you get guys from where we are today? And what did you say, day number 80?
I'm looking because
it's in the 80s.
It's in the 80s, right. And I think Mr. Netanyahu said the other day, this war is going to last for months to come. That is to say, Tim, I think we're going to be talking about this in March and April and May. I wish I could say in 2 weeks it's going to be over. Yeah. And even when you get to whatever that end game is, how are you ever going to get a non-Hamas Palestinian government that can actually live with Israel in the Gaza Strip? I don't know. That's the part that that I can't see. I can't see how we get to a peaceful end of all of this.
Remember, they were elected, duly elected.
Right, right.
Who's that?
Hamas.
Yeah, it's a problem that, you know, it's a problem. I mean, Hamas itself, but Israel right now is in the middle of, cleaning out the wasp nest, so to speak.
Right.
They have to be careful because it's urban warfare basically. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to lose Israeli soldiers. You know, they don't want casualties to pile up. I don't know how many soldiers have died now. Do y'all know Israeli soldiers?
I'll look it up.
But they're going, they're going block by block. They're having to find out all these tunnels. You got guerrilla warfare against them. It's going to take some time. There was some rockets that Hamas used, a couple days ago? So evidently they've still got some ammunition.
Right.
It's not this will end, and it will end with Hamas's military. I say military. They're not a military per se, but their terrorist activities will all but cease because Israel will find out where they are and kill them and capture their ammunition. Okay, that will happen in time, whether it's a month from now, 2 months from now, I don't know when, but now dealing with the ideology of Hamas, that is, we hate Jews and we want to see them all dead. Amen. That's the philosophy of Hamas. You can't negotiate with those people. And until the Palestinian people there stop teaching their kids to hate the Jews, which I don't think is going to happen. They've been doing this for decades and decades and decades. Then, you know, the threat of a terrorist attack is not going to go away. Of course, we have the threat of a terrorist attack here in the U.S. all the time, too, because, you know, many of these Islamic jihadists around the world, they hate us. They hate the United States.
Or the great Satan. Israel's the little Satan. Reading from the Haaretz, which is the Israeli newspaper, this is day 87, according to them. Israel is withdrawing some of its forces from Gaza to shift to more targeted operations and prepare for a possible second front with Lebanon's Hezbollah. That's according to an Israeli official. And I've read somewhere where they're preparing a war on seven fronts. They got
Israel has to be prepared all the time
for
war on their borders. I mean, and, you know, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this, Ray, but Iran is provoking a war with the United States through their proxies in the Middle East. And they're provoking a war with the West in general, with
The Greg Yemenis, Britain. Right?
They're firing at our ships out there. You know, they haven't hit us yet, but their drones and their these Islamic jihadist rebels, if that's what you want to call them, in Yemen, which is a country just south of Saudi Arabia, they're firing at our ships out in the was it the Red Sea or and so anyway,
they wouldn't do that without Iranian support.
Right.
They're
you know, if one of those missiles or bombs lands on one of our ships and destroys it, that'll be an act of war that we will retaliate, I would think. You know, we would retaliate. I'm talking about against Iran because that seems to be the consensus that these are proxies of Iran. These Hezbollah, Hamas, these what do you call them, those fighters in in Yemen, what'd you call them, Ray?
The HOUT. Help me out, Steve. How do you pronounce that?
Hutha.
The Hutha. All right.
Yeah, it's a tinderbox over there still.
Yeah, it is. It is.
All right, Steve, next story.
Well, we got about a minute. Let me just go to my favorite news source. This is all the news you can trust from the sarcastic point of view from the Babylon Bee.
Oh, boy.
Democrat mayors demand that migrants enter their cities in limited numbers in an orderly fashion and obtain a permit beforehand. But just when they get to our cities, they can come to the southern border however they want.
That's right.
And then you might have heard this I heard this several times. A radio station interrupted its Christmas music to let everybody know that it's playing Christmas music uninterrupted.
Well played. Nicely done. Hey, one thing I need to add in here before we get to the break is that if you're looking for an AFR-produced Middle East report, we do one every day. You can find it at AFR.net. John Riley does a Middle East report every day, and you can find it on AFR.net where he covers what's going on in the Middle East and obviously with the war going on over there, covers it into great detail, and you can go to AFR.net for that.
Is that under the podcast?
That is. His podcast, his radio spots, and his programs is covered on the weekend, but he produces short radio spots, and then his 30-minute program on the weekend are all hosted and archived right there.
Okay, thanks for listening today, everybody. Take care. We'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Today's Issues. Keep listening to AFR.